الحمد لله، الحمد لله الذي كتب على نفسه الرحمة، نحمده ونشكره ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه. نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. We give thanks and praise to God Almighty for all that He has given us to sustain us, to guide us. We thank Him. We are grateful for what He has given us. He has ordained on Himself the law of mercy, and from that we extend from the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam the rule of mercy towards each other. And we ask for His guidance and we ask for His forgiveness, and when we fall off that path, we ask that He bring us back onto that path. We bear witness that there's no God but the one God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we bear witness that Muhammad is the servant and messenger of Allah. And we ask Allah to continue to shower His blessings onto the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and his companions equally. In this time when we have the break and the kids come home and families are together and it is a holiday season in this country where we see the parades and the pageantry and we see the sales and we see so much that looks good on the surface, and we eat a lot and we watch a lot of sports, and we get depressed because usually our teams lose. But still, we have to understand that in all of this, we must not just look at the surface of what is going on around us, especially if we look at social media. Social media has an interesting way of making things look bigger than they really are. That it looks so good and perfect and everybody seems so happy in certain social media posts, or it looks like the earth or the world is about ready to implode and everything is turned upside down. So we have to have that perspective. And in terms of perspective, let me tell you about two people. Let's call the first person Ahmed. I asked this person, how's school? He said, well, I spent a year in Boston and I didn't like it. So I'm coming back home and I'm trying to figure out what I am going to do. And then there's a second person who came home. His name is Salman, call him Salman. And he said that, oh, I just sold my company for $1 million. And so on the surface, Ahmed is struggling and Salman is doing great. But do we really know that? Because in our culture, where we clutter ourselves with materialism, we monetize everything and we do not give value to what it is really of value, and that is the human beingness within all of us. And we do not give value to the journey and the struggle that all of us have to go through. So it looks like Ahmed doesn't fit. There's something wrong there. Whereas Salman is perfect, he's doing well. But then when we look at the stories of the prophets, they didn't fit. They were lonely. They were sad. Like Ibrahim alayhi salam, who started with an ummah of three. Himself, his son, and his wife. And now look what is happening beyond the lifetime of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And in Musa alayhi salam, when he confronted Pharaoh. If you think of the picture, it looks like Pharaoh is dressed in something that you may get from Saks Fifth Avenue. Very fancy, opulent, jewelry everywhere. And you look at Musa alayhi salam, something that he was very poor, and something where he was dressed that might be construed as rags. But what was inside Musa alayhi salam was much more valuable and much more profitable and much more successful than what was inside Pharaoh. So we get fooled by the imagery every day. When we see things on TV and we look at social media, we get caught in the veneer of what is really happening underneath. And so we cannot be fixated or fooled by the opulence and riches and the pageantry. We must always look deeper into the faith, into what is happening inside each and every one of us. Nuh alayhi salam, think about what he had to go through, how much mockery he had to deal with for hundreds of years. And then he built the ark, and within the ark, they were stuck with each other. So there must have been that stench that was fomenting and fermenting throughout the journey. But he knew that the stench was not as bad as the storm outside. And isn't that true for each and every one of us? Sometimes we deal with each other and we can't stand it. We say, this is miserable. We can't deal with our family. We can't deal with our work. We can't deal with our school. We can't deal with our friends. But the storm on the outside is much worse than what we're trying to do with each other, if we're doing it with conviction and with the intention of doing something good. So these are reminders that the figures that were given stories throughout the Quran, they struggled, they were on a journey, they felt lonely and anxious and dealt with their anxieties as they dealt with their daily inner and outer struggles. And so with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is a very interesting account of what he had to go through, especially in the early years of revelation. In the early years of revelation, there really wasn't that much revelation. He would get a revelation, and then there would be a period of time when there was no revelation. So look at revelation in terms of 23 years with about 6,000 verses. That's an average of 5 per week. 5 per week, a week is 7 days. That's over 150 or 160 hours. So you see how scant, really, the times of revelation actually occurred. So he was pretty much on his own between revelation, and people then would wonder what is happening with your Lord if you're not receiving that revelation, to the point, in the early years especially, he was mocked by some, and there is an account, according to some scholars, that the wife of Abu Lahab, the two who were condemned in the Quran, when there was that period where there was no revelation, she went to him and said, your Satan has forsaken you. A'udhu billah. So with that came this revelation in Surah Ad-Duha. Surah Ad-Duha shows us that when we feel that we have been, when there is that whisper that we think that we are forsaken, there is that reminder that God is still with us and very close to us. And so when we recite the verse, let us recite it in a way that applies to you and me. How do we go through that journey in the feeling that we are lost or we are lonely or things are not working out the way we want it to work out? And figuring out the journey from that point on. As the surah says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, wadduha wal layli idha saja, ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala, walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula, wala sawfa yu'tika rabbuka fatarda, alam yajidaka yatiman fa'awa, wa wajadaka dhalan fahada, wa wajadaka a'ilan fa'aghna, fa amma al-yatima fala taqhar, wa amma as-sa'ila fala tanhar. So these 11 verses, when you look at them, it is showing how you and I, along with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are on a journey. And there are times when we feel that we are lost or that we are not really grounded. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this short but very profound surah, the first thing it says, it's referring to the morning hours and the night when it grows still and dark, that we are going to be dealing with both light and darkness. Times of happiness and times of sadness. Times when we're all together and times of loneliness. So don't think that everything will always be the same. Sometimes we get stuck on a situation and we keep thinking about it over and over as if we've never moved on. It's telling us that the world is very dynamic and things will change. Things will change for you, for your spouse, for your family, for your work. There's always a form of dynamism. And then the second verse says, your Lord has not forsaken you, nor does he scorn you. Reminding us and telling those disbelievers who are trying to play with our minds that God is always close to us. He has not forsaken us. God is telling us, do not let them get to you. I am close to you. I am with you. Do not worry. Do not fear. Use me. Use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the instrument to get through that anxiety and sadness and state of loneliness. And then it says, for indeed the life to come will be better for you than the earlier part of your life. In other words, keep your eye on the prize. Look at the long term. Don't look at the immediate. This country, this society, is obsessed with immediate self-gratification. It has to happen now. It has to satisfy me now. I have to get everything what I need and want now. That is not the way the world really operates. Those who succeed have their eye on the prize and are not stuck with what is happening right now and right then, but what is going to be happening in the long term. And indeed, that in time, your sustainer will grant you what your heart desires, and you shall be well pleased. You will get that lovingness, that sense of accomplishment, that sense of self-fulfillment if you continue on this path. And then the surah goes on to ask in rhetorical fashion, has he not found you an orphan and given you shelter? Referring to the Prophet ﷺ, who was an orphan, but he found a home. When we feel lonely, God is saying there is a place where you can find a home. Our home is the Islamic Center. Our home is the community. Our home is each other's homes, where I feel safe and secure. I can share my vulnerabilities with you and you with me. This is our blessing from Islam and from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And found you lost on a way and guided you, and found you in want and given you sufficiency. Therefore, the orphan you shall never wrong. Do not take for granted those who are less fortunate than us. We tend to look at people who are more fortunate than us. They have more fortune. They have a bigger house. They have a nicer car. Their kids went to the best schools. They're all getting good jobs. But we don't realize there are people who are less fortunate than us. And that sense of perspective is so important to look at everything in its totality. And it goes on to say, and him who seeks your help shall you never chide. Not just the beggar, but anyone who's asking for help in a time of difficulty. Whether it is a time of difficulty in terms of a family where you can help in doing some discussions, or when you find a worker for the cause of God from this Islamic center asking you, can you help with moving the chairs? Can you help with keeping this area clean? Can you help by organizing something? Can you help by serving on a committee? It is telling us that this is God's way of saying, do not turn your back on those who are asking for something if it is for the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the cause of God. So never turn our backs to those who are asking for help. And of thy sustainer's blessing shall you speak, In other words, speak of the blessings that God has given us, not of the suffering. Yes, we are all suffering, but speak in positivity. Start your day with Alhamdulillah for all the things that He has given us. And so you will be strengthened. You will be on that journey towards the right path. And this tells us then, brothers and sisters, that we are all on a journey. We don't know where we are on this journey. We don't know where Ahmed and Salman are on their journeys. But we are all on a journey. The situation is never static. Look to the future, not the past. Look to opportunity, not what was lost. Look to how you can help, because giving is the best form of gaining happiness. Udu Rabbakum. الحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. There's a saying of religious scholars that faith is the first step even when you don't see the staircase. And this is true for all of us. We have our faith. We don't know exactly what's going to happen afterwards. We have an idea. But taking that first step is so important to moving up to our goal. Because you can question, you can be intimidated, you can be pushed aside, but taking that first step is so important for our faith. And taking that first step in dealing with my anxiety, my depression, my state of loneliness is so important. And the Quran tells us also in Surah number 25, verse 61, about that kind of person. He says, "And God, it is He who causes the night and the day to succeed one another, revealing Himself in His works unto him who has the will to take thought," that is, has the will to be grateful. That is the first step, is to show our gratitude for what we have before us. And so taking care of people is tied with thanking God Almighty. And the worst situation then for all of us is when we only think of it in superficial, monetary, materialistic terms, as opposed to what is deeper that will help us grow in our faith, inshallah. And we are all broken. We are all struggling. Nobody in any situation is the person that really has all the answers. We need each other collectively to move towards that answer, towards that first step. And especially with our young people, I think sometimes with our young people, we spoon feed them too much. We protect them and shelter them so much, they do not deal with the reality around them. And now there's a program, I was speaking to another young man named Dean, and he felt lost. And his parents decided to send him out on a journey. It's called Outward Bound. And there, they put him on a boat. He has to clean. He has to figure out how to take care of himself. They put him on a place where he has to camp by himself and survive in that situation. The point is, we need to think of more programs that build self-reliance and resilience, especially for our young people today, so that they can deal with these situations in a stronger way. And we hope to achieve that level of strength so that no matter what calamity hits us, we have the strength not only to overcome, but to succeed from it. What is the worst situation for any community? It is a situation of genocide. Genocide is the worst thing that can happen to any community. And we see that now, whether you're talking about Kashmir or the Rohingya or the Uyghurs, the suffering of the Palestinians and everywhere. We talk about it all the time. What happened to the Bosnians? But here's another story that is so important for us to reflect upon. It's a story about a man who was about ready to be shot and killed by this fascist group. And the man starts praying. And the soldier who was going to shoot this man said, "What are you praying for? Your God won't help you." And the man said to the soldier, "I'm praying to my Lord to thank him that I did not turn out like you." That is the real success of a person of faith, so that no matter what reality we're all dealing with, we always thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we are grateful to Him. وَأَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثْ. And to the blessings of your Lord, go and speak. Oh Allah, thank you for bringing us together on this Jum'ah. And let us pray for those who have suffered, all the Muslims and believers, whether they are with us or those who passed away. Let us pray for all those who are oppressed and suffering in this lifetime. Let us be among those who are the most truthful. Let us be among those who are most grateful to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us be among those who strive in your cause. And let us be among those who give for your cause and not take. And let us be among those who stand together against injustice and are merciful towards each other. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر.